Blog Talk Radio.
Great Thursday evening, everybody listening to the VIP with Unique and Mecca. We are back for yet another Thursday. And this time, sis, we are actually back and we are having a special guest who's actually been on here before. So definitely, definitely excited about that. Definitely.
Yes, author Tamika Reed. She has a testimony.
A very great testimony. I definitely. I'm sorry, say it again, sis. You broke a little bit.
No, I said I can't wait for them to hear her story.
Exactly, exactly. What a story it is.
Yes, yes. Definitely. I actually, I have a little snippet from her. It's up. If you able to look at it and see it, it says, say her name. If you can see it.
That's a song. That ain't no snippet. 442. All right. Well, what I think we should do, of course, is just, you know, we've been so excited that we have not done our intro the past couple of weeks, but I did want to say that, you know, one of the blessings in having Tamika on tonight is the fact that, you know, to be quite honest, we say it all the time, we deal with such heavy, heavy topics. And, you know, sometimes we can be like Siamese twins, you and I, because we really hadn't discussed this. But I wanted to start off the year with a lot more inspiration. And I know that, you know, a lot of people have their inspiration through trials, you know, things that they go through. But there's so many people who dealing with trials that don't realize that there's some inspiration at the end of the tunnel, and maybe not even at the end, you know, sometimes just going through the tunnel, you pick up different inspiration and things like that on the way through. So I'm extremely happy that she's here to just start off the year the right way, which is, I feel, you know, the right way to start it off with inspiring some people. So you guys hold on, and we are going to do a little intro since we've been cutting that out. And then we're going to get right into Tamika's snippet, as my sister called it. Thank you for joining the VIP with Unique and Mecca, two urban, compassionate, and sassy hosts who believe that everyone is a VIP through trial and triumph. Before we get started, we like to share the house rules. Please respect the views and opinions of others, even if you don't agree. Please avoid tea spilling on the pink carpet, as we want to keep our VIP area litter-free of judgment toward one another. And finally, please have fun and be inspired. Let's get it started.
My name is Tamika Reed. I am from Brooklyn, New York. I currently reside in Atlanta, Georgia. I have two daughters, ages 8 and 13. I am here to share my story in regards to a life of tragedies, heartache and pain, and dealing with the loss of loved ones. In 2003, I lost my first daughter, father. And when I lost him, I wanted to give up. I didn't want to live anymore. I didn't want to sleep. I didn't want to drink. I didn't want to do anything. But I had my mother at the time to instill in me that I had to keep going because of my daughter. There wasn't no one that was going to take care of her the way that I did. I was 162 pounds. I lost 33 pounds. And that's because I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to do nothing. I just wanted to die along with him. I didn't want to keep going, but my mother was there. Then when I lost my mom in 2004, I was devastated. I was brokenhearted. I didn't want to keep going, but I realized that I had not only my daughter to keep going for, but I had my sisters and brothers as well. It was the time in my life where I didn't understand why I lost my mom, why God took her from me, but I realized that you can't question God, and we're all here to go someday. In 2011, after I lost my second daughter's father, I was in a dark place for some time, but then I gained strength to publish my first children's book, titled Nicole and the Shining Star. I wrote this book on behalf of my two daughters, watching them day to day, living a life without their dad. I felt that I needed to write a book as such as this to help children cope with the loss of a loved one. There were plenty of times when I had people say that I needed to write my story. And I was like, no. But I came to realize that my story needed to be told. So in the midst of writing my memoir, the thought in my head came with a children's story. So I wrote the children's story, called my daughters in the room, read the story to them, and they seemed interested. So I said, okay, good. I'm going to do a children's book. So I published a children's book, and it wasn't even a week I came out to Atlanta, Georgia, to a book fair. And as I sat in my hotel room, I felt like I connected with my soul. I felt like this is where I needed to be. And it felt so peaceful. And for a whole year, I've been trying to come out to Atlanta to live here, but things was just not working out. I lost my grandmother in 2014, and when I lost her, I said, there's nothing else here for me. I needed to move on. I needed to start fresh. And I prayed every single day that God would change things for me and my daughter. Life wasn't going good in Brooklyn, and I just felt like my life was over. Like, what was going on, what I needed to do. Even though I had the children's book, I still felt like my life was in a standstill. I didn't know what was going to happen, what I was going to do. I ended up losing my job, and everything was just falling out of place. Then God made a way for me to move to Atlanta, Georgia. When I moved here, I felt so peaceful, and I felt like everything was going to go right. As many times I wanted to give up, I didn't, because of my daughters and God. I realized that I have a purpose in this life, and God is using me for that purpose, to help and encourage and motivate others who may go through the same thing that I've gone through. Living life with tragedies, struggles, pain, loss of loved ones, and just dealing with this life. My website is ionizedpub.com. For pre-orders, you can purchase your copy there. Thank you.
Hello?
I'm here. My goodness. I just had to, you know, I like to do a little muting while all of that stuff is going on, because I be sneezing and coughing and doing all that kind of stuff. So, you know, nobody need to hear all that stuff. So I had the phone muted for a minute. But without further ado, we definitely have to open up this line for our very, very special guest, Tamika Reed, the author herself. Welcome, 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 Tamika. Welcome back.
Hi, you guys. Thanks for having me back.
Hi.
I enjoyed you guys the first time.
Hi.
Thank you. Hey. Oh,
no,
my
we
God.
We definitely enjoyed you the first time.
Huh?
Yes, don't kill
I
me.
Said we definitely...
I know that was a video.
Yes.
That
oh
was a video
God.
That you guys just heard. She sent it to me last night, and it touched me so. So I wanted to use the audio from the video. But you guys have to go on YouTube and check out that video. It's awesome.
You know what?
Yeah, I was saying I enjoyed you the first time also.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I was sitting here. I didn't even know that you guys was going to play that. And I'm like, oh, my God. Just listen.
Oh, don't
to
feel
me,
bad.
I
didn't know either.
I hadn't listened to that in a long time.
It was a surprise.
Time. Yes, it was definitely a surprise. Because I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm sitting here, and my eyes are watering up. And I'm like, wow. My goodness. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. Wow. So thank you guys for playing that. Thank you so much for having me again. This is awesome.
Well, you are definitely welcome, for sure, for sure.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's something.
Wow.
Now, she got to collect herself over there. Since she wasn't expecting that.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
Now she's trying to get herself together.
I couldn't believe it. I was not expecting that. So just listening to it, and I'm just like, wow. Wow.
You're just like, wow, she done put me on the spot. Well, guess what? She put us on the spot, because I was like, what is she talking about here? Great. Help me out so I know which direction I'm going in, please. Thank you.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness
wow.
gracious. I'm going to need you to get it together over there.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I'm getting it together.
Oh, my goodness. Now that was for Unique. We're going to give you a second or two of Unique, because she said she done started tearing up and everything. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
geez.
My goodness.
But, wow. That's,
you're such
that
an inspiration, and I just want to go ahead and get right into it, Tamika. Can
yes.
you tell
yes.
us what's the inspiration behind this book?
Well, losing loved ones, you know, being devastated from losing my first daughter father, my second daughter father, you know, my grandmother, my mother, just dealing with the loss of loved ones and then the struggle of being a single mom trying to, you know, make ends meet and, you know, just doing, you know, making things happen. You know, and people was like, your story needs to be told, you know. And I had one friend at the time, and she was like, Polly, because they used to call me Polly. And she's like, Polly, your story needs to be told. You should share your story. And I didn't want to at first, but then when I realized that my story can help someone else, I said, you know what, let me just go ahead and start writing. And I started writing and ended up doing a children's book. Coming out with that one first. So it was never my plan, my goal to ever publish a book of any kind. But when you have that person in your ear and she's like, your story needs to be told, then you're getting confirmation of another person saying the spirit is telling me to tell you to write. So it was just confirmation coming from each and every angle. And I'm like, you know what, let me just go ahead and do this book. And not only was it therapeutic for me, but it has helped others as well. And I'm happy that I did write the book. I have no regrets about it at all, you know. And so that's the inspiration behind it. And I just want, my goal with the book is to inspire people and let them know, no matter what you go through in life, never give up. And if they see that I've overcame all of the things that I've gone through, they can look at their situation and be like, you know what, I got this too. I'm going to be all right. It's going to be all right. God got me. Everything is going to work out, but you just got to keep the faith. And that's my goal. I just want people to know, don't think that this is the end. Whatever situation you are in, don't think that this is it, because it's not. The easiest thing is to give up, you know. And if it was easy trying to accomplish your dreams and keep moving, then, you know, everybody would be doing it, you know. But it's just amazing how you grow up not thinking that you're going to ever become a self-published author, being able to help many different people with their situations and what they're going through, and then realize that this is it, you know? This is it. Here it is. I'm 35, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe I published a book. My story, you know, my story. And it's like, wow, how was you able to put that out there like that? You know, you wasn't embarrassed. you know, no, because it's my story, it's what I went through, and I've overcame it. So if I overcame it, I can be able to share it and help someone else that's going to go through it or may have been through it who is afraid to share their story. So I just want to inspire people and encourage them, you know, never give up. No matter what you go through, whether it's a loss, you know, hang in there. Know that your loved ones will always be in your heart. Now, I do have my days where I do, you know, shed a tear because I hear a certain song or something like that. But I know that my loved ones will always be with me, you know. And like I said, when I lost my first daughter, father, I did not want to live anymore. When I say I did not want to live, that was my first love, you know. I did not want to move on. I didn't want to live. I didn't want to do anything. And I'm so happy, and I still thank God to this day that I had my mother at the time because I was going. When I say I was 162 pounds, I shrunk down to 123 within a matter of days. I was going because I was like, I can't do this. I can't live without him. I had to identify his body in a pool of blood in my stairwell. You know, and that was the hardest thing for me to do. And even writing the book, that was the hardest chapter for me to write because that took a toll
right
on me.
For that place.
Yeah. It took a toll on me. And I remember
how old was your daughter?
My daughter was only one at the time when he passed away. She was only one. And, you know, just thinking about the book, and when I wrote it, I'm just like, you know, it was the hardest chapter. And I remember a time when I couldn't even express or share that part of my story because it was hurtful. You know, I would break down in public places and just break down because I'm like, why? Why did they have to do that to him? You know, my first love, I just had his child. She just turned one. And, you know, why? He was coming home, you know. And it was just crazy, and I didn't even want to believe that it was him downstairs in my hallway. I didn't even want to go identify the body, you know. It was too painful, and I didn't want to live anymore. I did not want to live anymore. I didn't want to go on in life. I didn't want to, you know. It's not easy losing loved ones, but when it's beyond our reach, there's nothing we can do but keep moving forward because we can't live our life in hell, you know. We can't live our life in distress saying we wish that, you know, our loved ones were still here and just end our life. We can't just do that, you know. So that chapter was the hardest chapter to write. It really was. It really was.
And I can just imagine how hard, you know, it is to go through that and then be a mother of a toddler. You know, and still have to, you know, try as best you can to take care of her, you know, and
right.
going through a severe state of depression. Wow.
Right. Yep.
Wow.
You know, then I had to call.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
This is your show.
Okay. Then I had to, you know, make the phone calls that, you know, like to his mom. I had to call his mom and let her know that her son is downstairs, you know, dead in the hallway, you know, making these phone calls, you know, even to my mom, letting her know. And this happened 2 weeks prior, but prior to the murder, we were robbed at gunpoint, you know, which was crazy ridiculous, you know, being robbed. And then 2 weeks later, he's murdered in my hallway. And I didn't even hear a gunshot, you know. I was waiting for him to come home with some Haagen-Dazs because that's what I wanted. And, you know, you see, the whole day was difficult because I thought something was wrong. And they say when things go wrong within a day, like if something bad happened, like certain things happen in that day, and you know something bad is going to happen or something good is going to happen. And that whole day just made me, you know, a little weary because I'm like, why is he, you know, not answering my calls or why he don't want to come pick me up from work? You know, the whole day was just a mess. Then I get home, I see that he left my daughter in the house by herself in the crib, and I said, this day just is just not right. But not knowing that that whole day of madness led up to even more, something that was very painful, me having to see him downstairs in my hallway in a pool of blood. You know, it's just, it's crazy. So even with the books, going through all of what I went through, you know, it's like a timeline, because I always used to journal. I always used to write. I used to write songs and poems and just write down everything that happened in that particular day. And so even people ask me to this day, how are you able to go back to that specific day? How do you remember the time? And that's because all I had to do was just go back into my journal and just put it all together. And so what I wanted to do, I wanted to give people the things that I've gone through so they can look at the situation. So it's a timeline. It started from when I was staying with my mother, and then, you know, me and my stepfather, we happened to have an issue, and I ended up going to stay with my aunt. So from then, it just started with everything else. It's like everything else just fell into place. By me moving out, I met my first daughter's father, you know, and then that situation happened. Ended up in another situation. So the book is basically on a timeline of all of the things that I've gone through where I could have given up. I could have. Each time that I went through all of what I went through, I could have given up, but I didn't. And people ask me all the time, how are you here still standing? And then I came up with the title, Beyond the Tears I've Cried, Here I Am Still Standing. Because there was so many tears that I've cried each and every time to where I did not want to be here anymore. I didn't want to be here.
Right. Right. And so my question to you, right, would be, if you had, because, I mean, truly there is someone out there going through the exact same feeling right now as we speak. They are so close to the edge, and they just don't even know how, you know, how to come back from it. If you had the opportunity to talk to that person, to let them know that they can live through what it is that they're going, what advice would you give to them?
I would tell them to hang in there. Hang in there. Because deep down inside, there is strength to keep going. Just hang in there and don't give up. That's what I would tell them. Hang in there.
And you would be the person to tell them.
Don't give up.
Yes.
Do not give up. Because it will get better. There is strength in that weakness. There is strength in there, but you got to dig deep down inside and find that strength, because the strength is in, it's in you. It's in you to keep on going and know that it will get better. The scars will always be there, but you will be able to move on. Just hang in there. Hang in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, you said you had your mom that helped you to get through the first tragedy that you went through. What was the timeline between losing her?
It was a year later.
Your first child. A year later.
A year later after I lost my first daughter's father. And like I was just saying with my first daughter's father, how the whole day was just a mess, and then it led up to, you know, his death. And same thing with my mom, you know. I was planning to give her a gathering at my house, and I knew she liked seafood. And I said to the guy that I was buying the seafood from, and told him, I said, you know, I said, I want shrimp, I want fish, I want, you know, all of that. And he said, it's going to come up to 200 and change. And I said, wow. I said, that's a lot. And he said, man, you only get one mom. You only get one mom, man. And I said, you know what? Give it to me. Not knowing that that was going to be my mother's last birthday, I wrote her a poem. I stood up in front of her, and I read that poem to her, not even thinking that someday I will be a self-published author, not even thinking. But I sat up in front of her, and I read that poem to her, and she was teary-eyed, and she said, thank you so much. And I'm so happy that I gave her that gathering because I didn't know that was going to be her last gathering. So when she passed away, I was hurt. I was devastated, and it was very painful, but I was all right with myself. I was all right with myself. Why? Because I was able to do something nice for her before she passed away. And I knew that growing up, she and our relationship was not the very best, but before she passed away, it was all the best. So we became close, like we were best friends. You understand? And that's the most part that I enjoy and I still think about to this day. And even when I wrote the book, I was a little skeptical about putting it out because I knew some people probably would get mad. And my intentions was not to hurt anyone, but because it's my story and it's because of what I've been through, I wanted to share that part. Yes, I wanted to share it so I can be able to help someone else, but not to hurt anybody that was a part of my journey, you know. And when I had that dream of my mother smiling at me, that gave me confirmation right there. And I was all right. I said, you know what? That's confirmation to get ahead and put out my book. And that's what I did. Because I was a little skeptical about doing it. I'm like, this is my story. You know, people are going to get upset because they're in it. And I don't want, you know, people to be mad and stuff like that. Although I'm the type of person where I am me, you know. So I don't care what people think about me. I don't care what they say. I don't care because I know who I am. I know I'm not a bad person. I know my heart is well, you know. And so I just was like, dang, you know. And I was confused. But when I had that dream about my mother and she smiled, that was the green light for me to just go. That was the green light right there. And when I say my mother was calling constantly when my first daughter father passed away, she was there. Bring me my grandbaby. You got to be strong. Stay strong for my grandbaby. Stay strong. And I'm telling you, I didn't want to. But her in my ear continuously telling me, be strong. You got to be strong. Nobody's going to take care of Isis like you take care of Isis. You got to be strong. And she was there. She was there. She held me down through it all. She held me down through it all. And she right. helped me. She helped me be able to, you know, move forward. She helped me to be able to move forward. And when my second daughter passed away, I just wish that she was there. I wish she was there to give me the strength that she was able to give me when I lost my first daughter's father. Because when I lost my second daughter's father and I got that phone call that he didn't make it, I tell you, I almost crashed my vehicle with me and my daughters inside. But my youngest daughter, she screamed so loud, it brought me back to reality before I can do any harm to any of us. And I always tell people that was nobody but God. Nobody but God. Because we were all saved that day. Before I can do any harm, she screamed so loud, it just brought me back to reality before I can do any harm to any of us. That was nobody but God. And I don't care what anybody say. That was nobody but God. She screamed just in time. Just in time. Because I blacked out. Like, God, not again. Why is this happening to me? Not again. Not again. You know, it's a lot going on in the book. It's a lot going on in the book. What I get from the, you know, the readers, the people that read the book is the page turner, and that's what type of book I like to read. So I knew what type of book to put out, a page turner, where you want to know what's going to happen next. And that's basically my journey, you know. It's a tragedy after another tragedy. Something is just
was always something bad, you know?
Did you ever question God?
Yes.
Did you ever
question
God? Like, why
absolutely.
Me? What did I do to deserve this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I questioned God. I used to blame my father. My father is still in jail, and I used to blame him for the things that I've gone through. And I said, I know I'm my own person, and I know, you know, we have choices in life, but I said, I'm a good person. I help anybody that I can. I'll give my last, which I have plenty of times. And I said, I don't understand why these things are happening to me. You understand? Why? And then I used to blame him. I said, okay, for the things that you've done, maybe it's coming on to your daughter. You know, all the bad luck and the bad things that you did is coming on to me. And I used to think like that. And I used to question God, like, God, why? Why me? What did I do? Whatever I've done, I am so sorry. But what did I do to deserve all of this? Until I started reading the Bible and I started getting, you know, into myself more spiritually and blocking everybody out and having that time alone. And then I realized that I'm going through things because something greater is coming. I have a story to tell. My story is going to help someone else. And my life mark, I feel as though that I am a nurturer. I am the type of person that is to be able to help someone. So I know that I'm going through all of this because there are so many people out here that are going through things and they are so quick to give up. So when they see a person that has been through so much and she has overcame
you
it,
give them strength.
She's still here, she's still
yes.
standing, you give them strength. You inspire them to keep going. And I hear it all the time, Tamika, you inspired me to either write this book or you inspired me to keep going. Or, dang, I look at my situation and it's not even as bad as your situation. And look at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm gonna be all right. So when I'm able to inspire other people, I say, God, you know what? I did my job. I did my job. I wrote this book
and a job
to help someone. Yes. Thank you.
Right. And you know what's crazy
is
about that?
To help someone.
Right.
Right.
And what's crazy about that is, you know, like you said, you know the Bible, you know that. You know, things are either God ordained or God allowed. And
right.
It's crazy how sometimes he can allow certain things to just turn your whole world upside down and you wonder why. But then as you begin
right.
to inspire other people and as you begin to live through it first and foremost, because like you said, you didn't want to live after your first daughter's father was murdered. Then
mm-hmm.
your mom, you know, 1 year after that, then losing the second daughter's father, you know,
right.
you didn't want to live. But had you not lived,
right.
whoever's attached to your destiny would never have gotten a chance to get your story so that they can live.
Right.
You know, so it's crazy how our trials are so connected with somebody else that we don't even imagine. And to be honest, that's the reason why I know that I have to go on no matter what I go through, because I know that my destiny is not about me. It's about me having
right.
that resilience, about depending on God to give me the resilience to continue to move, because it's people that's tied to my destiny. And if
that's
I fall,
right.
they're gone too. So, you
yeah.
know, for me, sometimes I look at that bigger picture. But to me,
that's
I want
right.
to also ask you, because you're just a ball of inspiration. And so
thank
I was
you.
Super excited to have you on, because sometimes I feel like, and as I'm listening to you talk, I hear so much of my personality in you, too. It's just crazy. I'm sitting here shaking my head. But I was extremely glad that you were coming on, because I feel like when you're the type of person who always encourages people, you need encouragement as well. You need people to
yes.
sometimes sit down and tell you what it is that they're going through, because they're so busy giving out all the time that they don't always get it
right.
back. So I knew that this was going to be a give back, you know, VIP for me. So
yes.
I'm definitely glad that you're here. You also write inspirational quotes. And
yes.
I stay liking
yes.
them on Instagram. When did you start doing that? And did those things also come from the tragedies that you dealt with?
I started writing those quotes example, when I was in my darkest hour, and during that time, I tell you, where I was living at in New York, in Sunset Park, I was there for 7 years. I've never took my daughters to the park across the street where I live. Never, because we will always drive to go to Bedford Stuyvesant and go to the park and hang out, you know, with my aunt and, you know, friends. And that particular year, I was sitting in the park, and I said, wow. I said, this is the first year. We've been here for 7 years. This is the first year that I just was, like, sitting in this park and just thinking. And I was thinking about my mom, and I had her shirt on, and I said, wow. I said, I can't believe that I lost my job. I lost my car. I have no money. I'm going through what I'm going through, you know. And I said, I wish my mother was here to help me, you know. I said, I wish these girls' fathers was here to help me. And I said, here it is. I'm sitting here in the park trying to keep a smile on my daughter's faces, trying to keep a smile on my face so they won't know that I'm going through what I'm going through right now.
Mm-mm-mm.
Struggling, trying to, you know, make sure that we have a place to stay in, to keep our apartment, to keep our lights on, to keep food in the house, you know, stuff like that. And I was sitting there, and I just thought about words, and I just put them together. And I took my phone, and I wrote it down, and I saw people liking it. And I said, okay. And that made me feel good because I was able to help someone. During the time that I needed help, I still was able to help someone. So I said, you know what? I felt good after that. That made me feel good. In my darkest hour, it made me feel good. And so every day after that, I said, I'm going to write something. So now, in my life now, I feel as though if I don't get a chance to write a quote every morning or every afternoon, it has to be in that day. If I don't, I won't feel right. I try to do it early in the morning before I start my day because I feel as though that my day won't go right because my goal is to help someone because I remember I needed help. And there was one friend, and I can still count on to this day, she has helped me. When I say she has helped me through thick and thin, I told her, I said, I will never, ever forget you. No matter what happens, I will never, ever forget you because you was there for me when I needed the help, you know. You was there. And so now, waking up every day, I have to post a message to let people know, do not give up. Never give up. Never give up. So I just want to inspire people. And I know that if I write a quote, you know, I can inspire someone. And if I can inspire someone, that means I help them. I help them in some type of form or fashion to be able to get through the day. Just the day. That's all you need. Just get through the day. And then when the next day comes, you'll take care the next day. But for right now, just get through the day. Get through the moment, you know. And so when I started writing TR, I started writing TR at the ending of my course when my cousin saw one of my messages one day. And he was like, what? My cousin quotable? And I was like, you know what? These my own words. I might as well put my first and last initial and be quotable.
That's right.
I
That's
said Maya
right.
Angelou did it. I said Maya Angelou did it. Oprah Winfrey does it. I said, man, listen, these are my own words. I sit and I think and I put them together. I'm going to write these quotes. And I came up with 200 quotes of my own, 200 plus of my own. And I'm so grateful that I was able to do that. So now what I do is I do reminders. I still take those same quotes, and I do reminders Like, I'll put, like, a reminder just to let people know, you know, a brief description of what the quote is about and to not give up. Just keep going. Keep going. So, yeah, I'm so happy that I was able to sit in that park. If I wasn't sitting in that park, I don't think that I'll have any quotes right now. So it took for me to be in that darkest moment, sitting in that park with my kids, watching them play and thinking of what words to say, not knowing that I would write 200-plus quotes, not knowing.
Okay. So you say 200 quotes. Would you ever publish a book, official quote?
Oh, that's my plan. Mm-hmm. The next book. That's my plan. The best quote.
So you done
like
wrote a children's
most.
Book?
Mm-hmm.
Children's book. You're gonna have a quote, a book of quotes, and this
yep.
ends
mm-hmm.
in your personal story.
Yes.
She's gonna have a book of quotables.
Okay.
And I have other books that I want to do as well. And I do want to, you know, turn my book, you know, into a movie. I do want to do that, you know. So it's a lot that I want to do. And I know God will open doors in due time for
yes, He will.
For me to be
so
able
can
to
you see playing
make that
you?
Happen. Huh?
Who would you want to play you? What actress would you want to play you?
I thought about Kiki Palmer. I thought about her because I love the way she acts. I love the way she acts. And then I thought about Angela Bassett playing my mom. But then I was like, I need someone light-skinned because my mom, she was, like, Spanish-looking, you know. So I don't know. But I said I do want it to become a movie, and it will be a powerful movie because, you know, all of the things that I've gone through, and to come out with a book will be the happy ending, to become this successful person, you know, of overcoming it all to making it.
Mm-hmm.
To making it. So
still
the more yes, Bill, and that's the title I, you know, want the movie to be, Still Standing, you know,
that's
Still
what?
Standing. And I speak it into existence.
So what I like to ask.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can see it. I can see it, Tamika. I wanted to ask about your children.
Yes. My girl.
How are they?
My motivation. They are my motivation. They make me want to go hard because, you know, losing their dad, I know what it feels like to lose a mom. I know what it feels like to want that fatherly love, you know. Oh, you can't mess around with this boy. You can't mess around with that boy. Although I had my stepfather, you know, growing up, and I'm thankful for him to be able to, you know, take the time and take care of a child that wasn't his, you know, I still needed my biological father, you know. And so I look at my mm-hmm. daughters, and I just want to give them the world because they didn't deserve any of this. Now, my older daughter, she kind of suffered everything that I suffered from, the loss of her dad, the loss of my mom, the loss of, you know, her sister's father, the loss of our grandmother. So she has been through it all. And I was dealing with a lot of issues with her. And just recently, just within the past few months, I see a big change in her. And I used to pray every single night asking God to please guide her because she was headed in the wrong direction. Please help her. Please give me the strength because there was plenty of times I wanted to give up on her. I always told myself, Tamika, you're not the one to ever give up on anything. How dare you try to give up on her? And I had to shake that off. And, like, you know, I've always been a fighter, never giving up. So I will never give up on my child. you know, and they're happy with the things that I'm doing, you know, trying to make a better life for them and, you know, push for them to do great things. And I try to encourage them all the time that, you know, great things just don't happen. You know, it just don't happen. When you're pushing for your dreams to come true, a lot of times it just don't happen overnight. You got to start bottom and work your way to the top. You have to start from somewhere, and it's not going to be easy. It's definitely going to be hard because it's going to be worth it at the end, you know. And if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. So I try to encourage them and inspire them as well to let them know that, you know, our situation right now is not where we're staying. It's going to get better, you know. And it has gotten so much better than it was. And they see it, and I always tell them, thank God. You have to thank God because we made it this far. You have to thank God. Things are so much better than it was. So you have to sit and thank God. And they do. They do. I love my girls so much. I got the oldest one. She's into makeup and cosmetology and stuff. And then I got the other one who wants to flip all around the house and just flip and put her feet up on the wall and stand up and say, Mommy, I can do this split. Look, watch, Mommy. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Got my little gymnastics on my hand. And it's just like, wow, where did this come from? I know when she was little, she used to, you know, enjoy flipping and climbing and stuff like that. But it's like now, it's like, oh, my God, this girl, I have to put her in gymnastics because all she wants to do is flip and do splits and dance. And I'm just like, oh, my God. But those two, they are my motivation. They keep me going. They keep me going. They keep me on my two feet, pushing, going hard for everything that I'm trying to accomplish. They keep me going. They keep me going. And I thank God for them because if it wasn't for them, I don't know if I'll be here. I don't know if I'll be here. After going through all of what I've been through, I don't know if I'll be here. So God knew to bless me with these two girls from both of those men that I've lost. God knew. God knew. Because if I didn't have them, I wouldn't be here. There's no way I wouldn't be here. But they are my motivation. They keep me going. They keep me going. Kids are a blessing.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are
a
blessing.
Yes, they are.
They are.
They have no idea how much a part of your testimony that they are, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's, you know, when you're a mother, I feel like, and I'm, you know, I'm not a mother, but I feel like when you're a mother, you have something else to aspire for, no matter what it is that you're going through.
Right.
And I think that sometimes that can make the journey easier, even though the journey is tragic, because you have somebody to say, you know what? You know, this is what I have to live for. This is, you know, I have to create a legacy for them. And I'm not going to take myself out of here prematurely.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Even though we have those people that are in such a dark place that they'll take themselves out and their children as well.
Yes.
So, you know.
That's so true. So true. And there were plenty of times.
I'm just thankful.
There were plenty of times I wanted to walk out and just leave them because I was hurting too much. And I said I didn't want them to see me hurting. And it was too painful to hide, you know. It was just too painful. But I held on to it. I would go in the bathroom and cry, let it out. I would try to listen to music just to block it out. And just play with them, you know, do, you know, funny stuff. And, you know, just to try to block it out, you know. And that was a part of helping the situation. It was a part of helping it too. And all I want is for them to have the best. They deserve it.
Absolutely.
Yes, they
absolutely.
Do. Did you hear your mother's voice? Did you ever hear your mom's voice going through all of that? And what she told you when you lost your first daughter, father? And I know that's what gave you the strength.
Yeah.
To just continue. And
yes. Continuously hearing her voice saying, don't you dare get up. You got this. You're going to be all right. Especially when I was just recently in a car accident. All I heard her voice was saying, you're going to be all right. That was it. You're going to be all right. You're going to be all
right. Now,
and in each situation,
you know what? Since you brought that up, I want to say that I'm so glad that my sis connected with you because you came to me, you know, at a time that I was going through, you know, the anniversary of my mom's death, and the words, and just listening to your testimony and just everything that you went through, it helped me.
Right.
And we realized that we're both from New York and that we're both here in Atlanta. We haven't met yet, but we've talked several
times.
And
ain't seen each other yet. Now, as soon as I get there, you know we're going to see each other, right?
I'm not playing. We're talking about that.
Very soon. It's going to happen soon. It's going to happen before
you. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Don't play me. I'll come tomorrow.
This is the crazy thing. Well, we'll be seeing her tomorrow then. This is the crazy thing. You was in a car accident, and I saw you a couple of days after it happened, and then, like, three days later, I was in the car accident.
Yes.
We spoke to each other often, you know, going through our treatment and and everything.
Right. Yes. Yes.
So it wasn't by chance that divine
order
meeting happened. Yeah.
Divine order.
Divine order. That's right. Divine order.
And
I don't believe that.
I can't tell you who started following who first, but all I knew is that, and I don't. If it was Tamika that followed me first and my little bit of 5 followers, I don't always follow everybody who follows me.
Right.
But if it was that you started following me first, I know that something has led me to see, what's this lady about? You know?
Right.
And I'm quite sure it was your quote that made me say, you know what? I can use this inspiration because I write my own. But my thing is, like I said, a lot of times when I'm writing my own, most of the time that's for somebody else.
Right.
So when I see yours, it's like, okay, so now it's like being recycled. Okay, so I'm getting it back. So I can count on in the morning that I can get something inspirational because I know you're going to put something out there, you know.
Right.
So like I said, divine order, and it's just, you know, nothing short of a blessing it all happens. Because when she told me you were in a car accident, too, I was like, what?
Right.
Jesus.
And I had to call your mother and go into the hospital.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm
okay.
I'm
going to
just leave it alone.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, let me tell you something about her. You know, especially just because you guys are in the same state, let me just tell you something about her real quick. This is the kind of stuff she does to me, right?
Uh-huh.
So just get yourself prepared because you're in the same state. This is the kind of stuff she wants to do to you too. So I was having a conference call, you know, when she had the car accident. She didn't text me and say, sis, call me, it's important. She didn't text me and say, hey, it's an emergency, I need to talk to you now. She texted me and said, I was just in a car accident. I said, I was on a conference call. I said, I got to go. I got to go right now. And I got off the phone, and I called her, and I'm asking her a million questions, and just going on. This is the kind of shenanigans that this lady does to her sister. But I just want you to be, get yourself prepared what you're getting into, because she don't know how to just, you know, bring it on smoothly.
Right.
I was like, I can't believe
it. No censor.
Oh my goodness.
Wait a minute.
Oh, God.
I'm going to need her to get herself together for 5 seconds, because she already knew I was ready to step through the phone so I could be from New York to ATL.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So, yeah, girl, she don't care nothing about shock value. Not a thing. Not a thing. Okay? Means nothing to her. Mm-mm. And she knew that whatever I was doing, that it was going to be a wrap for whatever I was doing, I had to stop.
Right. Uh-huh.
And the crazy thing is, I wasn't thinking, right, in my head, I didn't even say, well, if she's texting you, she's texting you. So, okay. So she's in a car accident. No. My brain went to car accident. I don't care who's texting me. All I know is I see this woman going, oh, my sister. You know.
Right.
Yeah, love is easy. But I just want to warn you.
Oh, God. Okay.
Just want to warn you. Yeah. Wow, Tamika.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Your strength and your journey is definitely to be commended. And I love how, you know, you always have to go back to God. And I feel like, you know, even with that, you might be thinking that you're doing one thing by inspiring people, but I also believe because you go back to God as much as you do and, you know, talk about how he supports you through, I also believe that that's also restoring relationships with God. So many people have gone through things and denounced God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Because they
and
like,
he's gone through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Because they like, okay, if God is God, why am I, you know, going through this? If God is love, why am I going through this? So they end up giving up, you know. Why did God take him from me? Why did God take her from me? You know, they just think negative, which there is a reason. There's a reason, there's a purpose, you know, and a lot of the things that we go through is to make us stronger, to make us wiser, to make us better than, you know, what we once was, you know. And I tell you, I've grew a lot from going through all of the things that I've been through. You know, I grew a lot from dealing with all of that. And sometimes you gotta go through things. You have to go through things because it's only helping you down the line. It's helping you, and God is preparing you for something greater. So when that day comes, you'll know how to look at that situation, or you know how to deal with it, you know? So everything happens for a reason, and I believe that. And I believe that I lost the loved ones that I've lost to be able to help someone, you know, to be able to, you know, encourage them, to know that your loved one will always be with you. And we all got to go someday, you know. And that's the reason why I wrote the children's story. And once again, even the children's book, that was never my goal. That was never my plan. I'm up here writing a book for, you know, my memoir to share my story, and I ended up coming up with a children's story. It's like it was already in my head. I just needed to let it out on paper, and that's exactly what I did. Ended up reading it to my daughters. They seemed interested. I was like, wow, I'm going to turn this into a children's book. I'm going to be able to help a child cope with the loss of a loved one. That's what I'm going to do.
Was it for your daughter? Was that the whole purpose
for,
behind it?
Yes, it was for my daughters, and being that they seemed, you know, they was happy about it, because my youngest daughter used to go to the window, and she used to say, Mommy, look, Daddy. And I used to be like, dang, she missed her father, you know. My oldest, she didn't really know him, her father. But
she
my
was
youngest
was a baby.
Yeah, she was a baby. She was one, you know. But my second daughter, my youngest, she was 3 years old when her father passed away, you know. And so she remembered a lot of the things. And for her to keep going to the window and saying, "Mommy, look, Daddy." And then when I would go outside, I would see all these stars around the house. And I'm like, I know my loved ones are up there. I know they are shining down on me. I know they are. And that's how I ended up coming up with the title Nicole and the Shining Star. I combined both of my daughters' names into one character. Nicole, my oldest daughter, middle name is Nicole, and then you have Ayana. So I wanted to combine their names into one character. That's why the little girl in the book name is Nicole. So that's, you know, that's my goal. And I remember going to do like an interview with a lady that she's a celebrity now. But I was going to meet with her and to share my story with her. And the daughter went in the bathroom to read the book. And she came out with tears in her eyes. And I said, "Oh, no, my book is not to make you cry. It's to, you know, help you cope with the loss of a loved one." And I felt so bad. And I said, "Dang, I didn't write this book to make children cry. I wrote this book to be able to help them, you know, help them understand that although their loved one is not with them, they'll always be in their hearts, you know." And so she started smiling. And she said, "Mommy, I want my copy." When I tell you, my heart started jumping. I said, "Thank you, God." I said, "Yes, yes, 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 yes." I said, "She wants the book." So I signed the book for her, and her mother ended up buying the book. And I just was like, "This is just so amazing. This is just so amazing," you know. And that's my goal with both of my books, is just to inspire people, just to let them know, you know, don't give up. Your loved ones will always be with you. Although you can't see them in the flesh, they are still with you, you know. And so it's just amazing. It's amazing because I never thought, you know, never thought that I would write any type of book. I never thought in my life growing up, you know. So it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's indeed.
Went through all of this to become an author of other things that you went through it for, but went through all of this to become a self-published author. And that's the thing that kept sticking out to me the whole time, because not only did you have to write through your pain, but you also had to self-publish, and that's not easy work.
It's not.
So you're doing all of this through pain.
Yes. All of this through pain. Rereading and making sure that words are spelled correctly, that, you know, make sure that it makes sense, and, you know, doing all of that. It's just, it wasn't easy at all, but I did it, you know. I did it, and I'm out here, I'm grinding, you know, getting it out there.
That's right. Well, let them know that you driving risk, you're selling the book.
That's right.
As you picking
that's
up.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm out here, you know, on the grind. On the grind. Networking, making connections, selling books. And it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, I said I got to put my story out there some way, somehow, you know. A lot of people don't want to support. You know, they're gonna want to support when I make it though, because that's what happens. They wait till you make it and then want to support you. Then they want to be like, "Oh, I went to school with her. Oh, I know her. That was my friend. And that's my cousin." And, you know, they're
going to
want to support then.
Then you give them the big pun voice. "I don't know you, man. You again? Go that way."
Right. Like, it's just, it's crazy.
I know you
it's crazy.
For where?
Right.
Would you say your name is again? And I'm like, "For where?"
Okay.
"I don't know."
Oh,
my goodness.
Oh,
hilarious.
Man.
I mean, trust them.
So
that we understand. That Unique and I definitely understand. Lord
yes.
knows.
Yes, they know.
He
nobody
get it.
They they don't want to support. They don't want to support until you make it. Then that's when they want to support. And it's crazy because that's when you need the most support, when you're starting out. You're starting from the bottom.
You.
That's when you need the support. You need the support then. You don't.
Really I just said that on Facebook the
I'm
other day.
This week, guys.
But wait, before you read that, let me just say something, sis. But check this out, though. Wait a minute. Give me 2 seconds. What people don't understand is that support doesn't always look like something financial. The support can be, oh, the support can be, the VIP should be off at 9 o'clock. Let me call Unique and Mick and say, see how it went today. The support can be, you know what I mean? Oh, I found somebody who's very, very interested. You know, I think they would be good for Unique and Mecca show. Let me connect them. Support is not always financial. Support is, wow, it's, you know, this must be hard work. I'm just here to encourage you today because I'm sure it's getting rough. That's support.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Support is, I see your quote. I love that one. I got to share that with somebody else.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
Yep.
But they're quick to support a celebrity that they don't even know. That they don't even
know. Can't pick up the phone and call them.
Exactly. It's like, dang, you this person done got a quote, and you sharing this person's quote, and my quote is banging, but you're not going to share it. Why? Because I'm not a celebrity? I'm not a celebrity, so you don't want to support? Okay.
Mm-hmm. You can't call them if the going gets rough. They're not coming to your aunt's funeral. They don't give a damn about your aunt.
Exactly.
All they want is your money.
They support their friends.
They want you to buy their next product.
Exactly.
And I'm not mad at that either because they work hard and they on their grind. They do what they do. So if you like their product, you like their product.
Right.
But don't act like you don't have people in your own circumference that's just as gifted as you. But here's what the problem is. The problem is that sometimes it's easier to support a celebrity that's not in your circle than it is for you to support a person that's in your circle because you can't believe that you don't have the gift that the person in your circle is in, that they have. In other words, what I was trying to say. You don't support because you mad that I have these creative gifts. Sometimes that's what it is.
Right.
But guess what? You have your own gifts, and I don't have those gifts that you have. And I probably look up to your gifts and say, wow, I can't paint. I can draw a rainbow.
That's right.
So it's okay that you're not a writer. That's what I was supposed to do.
Right.
But
and
you're
an
artist, and I think that's dope.
Exactly. Everybody has their own unique gift.
Everybody has.
And, you know, it just takes time for you to be able to use it. You know, it's in you. Just use it. Put it to you.
And stop worrying about somebody else's.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because everybody has their own unique gift. Unique.
Exactly. And I tell people all the time, you know what? I tell people all the time, I'm like, look, a creative gifting is not easy because sometimes you can't sleep.
That's right.
When you're snoring, and I'm sitting up here like, oh my gosh, I got to write this down. Oh my goodness, this is the next idea for another event. Oh my goodness. It's not easy. You don't want this, it comes
with
a price.
That's right.
It comes with a price.
That's right.
It is.
Well, at least we can talk without being on here. At least we can still stay connected, you know, and talk.
Yes.
But we got to hang out soon. We definitely got
something.
Have a girls trip or something.
What I love, for sure, what I love, too, about the people that Unique and I have connected with in this year and a half, goodness, it's been a year and 7 months, it's over a year and a half, that we've been doing this, is 90%
awesome.
Of them we can connect to. 90% of them we can call and say, hey, this is how I feel today. I'm going through this. And it's not
right.
that we really do it, but we can.
Right.
And they can do
right.
the same thing to us. And they have our telephone numbers, and we have their telephone numbers. So it's like, okay,
right.
the struggle is real today, all right? Send me a quick text so I know. You know,
right.
I got you in prayer.
Right.
I'll call
right.
you later and check
mm-hmm.
on you.
That's right.
So, so that's been a blessing. So I feel like for those people who, maybe in our outer circle, because you can't possibly
mm-hmm.
be that much in my inner circle if you don't support me, but for those people in
right.
our outer circle that we may have been raised with or may have, maybe in our family, because, that's just, it is what it is, your blood family, stuff like that. For those people
right.
who don't really support us, we have people who are doing similar things to what we're doing that do support us.
That's right. That's right. That
so,
so,
it's like an even exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And we love them.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to not love you. I'm not going to treat you no
That's
different
right.
at the family reunion, but just don't expect no perks. For what?
Exactly. Exactly. That's true. That is so
Mm-mm.
true.
I mean, why should you expect it? Did you sow a word? Did you, did you sow an encouragement word? Did you? But now you want all this extra stuff? Like, it's like, come on.
Right.
People support what they want to support.
That's right. They do. Only what they want.
And that's the bottom line. You do what you want to do.
Yep. That is so true. So true. So true.
That's
Tamika.
Yes.
I want you to tell the people where they can get these awesome books from.
Beyond the Tears I've Cried, Here I Am Still Standing, is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. There are multiple websites. Even if you could just click in Google Beyond the Tears I've Cried, Here I Am Still Standing, there's going to be multiple outlets where you can get the book. But I prefer Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or my website, ionicepub.com. There we go. Oh, in Atlanta, it's in two bookstores out here, Madu Bookstore and Nubian Bookstore. So, yes, you go get your copy.
Now, where are they
mm-hmm.
at? Where they at? Because I need to go get my copy.
You can get your copy from me.
Okay. So I'll get it from you.
Yeah.
Girl, when I get to the ATL, we going together. And I'm going
to
be like, this is her book.
Yeah. I'm going to say, this is my homie's book that I'm coming in here to buy.
If you want to go to the actual store, then Madu Bookstore at Greenbrier Mall and Nubian Bookstore over in Morrow, Georgia, at
Greenbrier.
Oh yeah, I've been to Greenbrier Mall before.
Yeah,
I was stuck in
Greenbrier
Mall in a snowstorm, but that's a whole nother story. Everybody act like they don't know how to drive.
Yes. Oh.
No. That little bit of snow.
They can't drive. It's a half an inch of snow here.
Girl, I drive better than they do.
Let everything down.
Hilarious.
They can't drive.
Nothing.
They were shook.
When it rains, they can drive.
Too funny. Wow. Well, Tamika, as always, it has been an absolute pleasure. You are definitely welcome here whenever you put out your next whatever book of quotes. That kind of cut because I was supposed to write one of those a long time ago. But nonetheless, this is your show, not mine. We're not talking about me. We're talking about you. But when you said that was definitely like, you got to do this.
And
If I could stop putting them on Instagram all the time. Hmm?
Yes. And I said, and I encourage you to do it.
I definitely
go ahead and do that quote book.
I accept the encouragement. I need to get it together. Because I got like three of them in me that need to be birthed. But nonetheless.
Huh?
Your autograph copy is going to say, sis, I was in a car accident. Get the heck out of me. That's what just copy going to say. But anyway.
But
oh, my
God.
I love getting to the end of the show and just laughing like this. I love it.
Yes.
I absolutely love it.
We have to end the show with her song. I was told to intro her into the show with the song. We have to play I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross.
Oh, my God, I love that song. Thank you, Doris, for having me. I love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We love you, too, and it's been a pleasure.
Yes, the VIP.
Thank you.
With Unique and Mecca. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Yes,
I love
you
guys.
It.
And keep up the good
work.
We love
you, too.
Keep up
likewise.
The good work, you guys.
Thank you.
Yes, you guys are going places. Just stay at it. Stay at it. Stay at it. Yes.
Likewise.
VIP. Yes. Thank you.
All right now. You're welcome.
thank you for spending time on the VIP with Unique Mecca. You can find us here every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. for the VIP experience. Bring a friend or look us up on Instagram and Facebook under Unique Mecca, spelled YOUNEIKMEKHA, or on Twitter under VIP.UniqueMecca. And if you don't believe anything else, please believe that you are a VIP through trial and triumph. Thanks again for joining us.